myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Who's that in the ALCS? Who's that in the ALCS? Red Sox, baby. Who's that in the ALCS? They fucking tick names and they pounded the Rays. Choke on that popcorn, Tampa Bay.
Welcome to the Long Gone Podcast. It's me, Michael, and with me as always is S-Man.
What up?
Steve Ford.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. So you were trying to like really push through that one. You're like, who's the ACS?
That's one of those where I come up with some lyrics at the last minute and just try and squeeze them all in. You know, it's like, I do what I can.
Yeah, do what you can. Still sounded good.
Thank you.
Still sounded good. So We are embarking. We have embarked officially on postseason baseball.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, we have.
There's not really a lot going on in Major League Baseball to this time. I mean, this time other than postseason. And obviously that is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And so far, I mean, just before we got on this pod, just before we started recording, the Astros took care of the Sox.
Yeah, they really did. There goes that AL prediction for you, right?
Gone with the wind.
Yep. Like they tossed him aside like a used condom, my friend.
Like a used condom.
Oh man. Yeah. They good for Houston. They keep on trudging along. Once again, looks like the White Sox failed to show up to the playoffs, just like last year. Pick up your parting gifts on the way out and see what you can do again next year.
They had a bad series. A lot of their guys haven't really stepped up. I mean, you saw sparks of Luis Robert. You saw, obviously, Yoán Moncada tried to come in there. Jose Abreu, I think, was their best hitter by far. Yeah. Maybe their best hitter by far. But it was just really hard to compete with Houston. I mean, Houston really stepped up. I was really impressed by Kyle Tucker. I mean, so far he has like 11 total bases. I mean, he's killing it. He's, you know, he's doing really good. I mean, Houston's hard, especially a team that has a manager like Dusty Baker. Oh, and before I forget, did you see that somebody's trying to look into if they're cheating?
I did see that. Yeah. I was going to bring that up to you there in a little bit. It was Ryan Tepera, talking about the Astros, and basically he said they had a reputation of doing some sketchy stuff over there. We can say it's a little bit of a difference. I think you saw the swings and misses tonight, meaning in game three compared to the first two games of Minute Maid. All right, guy. All right. You pretty much just poured some gasoline on an already raging fire right there. Okay.
You're like, all right, guy.
you know, you're not Liam Hendricks or Craig Kimbrell coming out saying this. You're Ryan Tepera, who until yesterday, I hadn't really heard of you. So shut your mouth. Okay. And, basically the Astros showed you what you really are here. Game four, as they pounded your ass to the curb in a 10-1 win.
It's kind of insulting to even bring that up with Dusty Baker, because Dusty Baker is an old pro and he is a respected manager. And I'm not saying that AJ Hinch wasn't, but at the same time, I don't think AJ Hinch had as much experience in the postseason,
right?
Or just in all of baseball, and who had a grasp for like every department. You can bet your ass he does now. But anyways, I think Dusty Baker even say that there might be cheating involved, I think is bullshit, because Dusty Baker would not let that happen in his domain.
No, and the fact of the matter is MLB has investigated it. They found the wrongdoing there, you know, in 2017 and all that stuff. There hasn't been any facts to back up what this little dick turd is saying here. So why, you know, bring up and put a cloud over this team when there's nothing to doubt right now?
Yeah, I agree. It's just dumb.
Shit pisses me off.
Yeah, it does too. I mean, until there's solid proof.
Yep.
I understand people being skeptical. They don't want to get burned again. But the Astros would have to be complete fucking morons
to do it again.
Do it again. Either they'd have big nuts or they'd be morons. And I just don't see that happening. But props to the Astros. I don't know about you, but I didn't give them enough credit going into the postseason. I knew experience would be on their side, but I always thought the White Sox had just that younger team that was just plus with Tony La Russa at the helm.
Yep. You know, I think La Russa is still napping in the dugout. You might want to go wake him up and let him know that the season's over. All right.
He gets the bump. Hey, coach, we're
hey, coach. Season's all right, over,
we'll
man.
Get him. Next, we'll get him next game. You're like, oh, we
it's done. There's no next game. We'll see you next year.
We'll see you next year. Yeah. So
God willing.
Yeah, God willing. But I will say that the White Sox should be proud of what they did this year. And I think that this is a team that will make an impact in the future. They just got a little sample size of what it's going to be like, you know, what it's going to be. And they have a lot of rookies, a lot of young guys on their team. So you're going to see Jimenez and obviously Moncada and Luis Robert kind of step up a little more. You know what I mean? Yep. And same thing with Tim Anderson and those guys. They have a great team. So I just think right now they just got beat by experience and it's hard, man. I mean, this is a hard league to win in and obviously the postseason. So congrats to Houston for moving on.
Yeah. Yep. Good for them. And we were talking a little bit about it because the last couple of years we haven't seen you know, teams coming out of the AL Central do well in the playoffs the last couple of years. You know, Cleveland had their run in 16, but you look at Minnesota, won over 100 games, what, in 18 or so, and then they got bounced by the Yankees, and then, you know, the White Sox did well in 20 and as well as 21, and they got bounced in the first round too. So, you know, maybe record says a little bit more if you're playing in a weaker division.
I agree.
You know, beating up on the crappy teams, but then it's time to step up where they when the big boys play. So I don't know if the division has something to do with it. We'll see. But I agree. The White Sox are young. They're not going anywhere. They'll be back fighting again next year. And I think learning from these last 2 years is going to help them going forward.
Yeah. What do you feel about the Rays and the Red Sox? What did you think about that series?
Man. Well, seeing as I picked Tampa Bay to win the American League, the Red Sox took a major shit all over my prediction. I underestimated the Red Sox, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought going in, honestly, I thought maybe they could have got bounced even in the wild card game, the one game playoff. But they shocked me. They have a perfect blend right now of younger players and then also the veterans stepping up and just the pieces that they put in. They traded for Kyle Schwarber, who was injured at the time. He comes in and he starts making an impact here. Obviously JD is playing great. You got Bogarts and Devers. They're playing awesome too, and they're having the pitching here with Eduardo Rodriguez pitch great. Nathan Eovaldi pitching well. They got a good bullpen, so they have definitely shocked me, and I wouldn't be surprised if they come out of the AL now. Honestly, my prediction of Tampa Bay has gone out the window. So, it'll be fun to see. It'll be two experienced teams going up against each other here in Houston and the Red Sox. It'll be, I'm curious to see what happens here.
I am too. And you just named a bunch of players that are doing really good for the Bo Sox. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I think when you look at that solid core of Verdugo and Devers, and with JD, obviously, and now Enrique Hernandez has stepped up, which is fucking weird.
It's just weird. It's funny watching, Kike Hernandez, get a clutch hit to win the series yesterday, former Dodger. And then you see Jock Peterson with the Braves coming up big in the playoffs here. Too bad they're not still with the Dodgers. Maybe the Dodgers could have better luck here.
Yeah, maybe. I totally agree. And it's going to be an interesting series. I love how you label it in the rundown. You're like, oh, it's the battle of the cheaters. Basically.
The cheaters. It is.
Which it's interesting, right? I mean,
Yeah. We'll see what happens. You know, they're both on the clean right now. So I'm curious. I think, Alex Cora had his mitts all over the series. He pushed the right buttons. And, I think this is a nice little vindication for him to at least get in this, division series and moving on, just to say, hey, I'm a damn good manager. I screwed up. What's done is done, and now I can show you guys still that I'm still a really good manager. So props to him for that.
This might be too soon, but who are we looking at? Who do you think who's going to win that series? Astros,
man, it's going to be tough. I am going to, if my gut says right now, I'm going to go with Houston.
I'll say Houston.
It's going to be close.
I'll say Houston too.
I'm thinking six. I think I think that core there of Altuve, Correa, Bregman, Gurriel, Yordan Alvarez, I think they have too many bats.
Yeah, too many bats, and their pitching staff, their pitching, I would say, is just a little bit better, mm-hmm. in my opinion, especially their bullpen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'd say you can't go wrong with the experience. I don't want to count out the Astros. Now watch them fucking lose dramatically.
Well, horribly. I said, like I said, Tampa Bay, I said, was going to win the American League. So that worked out well for me. So
yeah. So I guess, I think I'd go Astros as well. I think the Red Sox have it, man. I think it'd be interesting if the Sox actually made it to the series, because they're going to be doing this without Mookie. I mean, basically, they're doing this with a revamped team. You know what I mean? So
wouldn't that be something else? See if the Dodgers can pull out a couple of wins here and they can get out of the National League and it'd be Dodgers, Red Sox, and the World Series Mookie going up against his old team.
That would be a storied... That's something when you look back, because I always look back in the Ken Burns type of documentary. And if I put that in that kind of format, it'd be cool. Have a narrator talk about it.
Right.
And I'm sure there would be some emotions there for Mookie, of course. But first, they got to beat the Giants before they even consider.
A couple hours away from that. But, their season's on the line here, down 2-1. And I was listening to Mad Dog Russo today, and he didn't mince words. He's like, you gotta get some luck sometimes when you're in the postseason. He's like, it really just looks like God is on the Giants side at this point. The Dodgers threw their best pitcher at him and Max Scherzer, and they couldn't even win that game.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go off on a limb tonight and say that the Dodgers will win.
Okay.
I think they're gonna tie it up and bring it to that deciding fifth game.
Man, that'll be fun. I think it'll probably go with Arias or something in game five. It'll be that'd be a lot of fun.
I think it will too. The Giants are great, but I obviously want to see my predictions come.
I can't lose my other one too.
I mean, it's to see teams like the Red Sox and the Giants, who everybody kind of counted out, suddenly make this fucking historic push.
Yeah,
is something for the ages, man. And I think it's an exciting time for baseball, especially with these two teams in it. So if they do win, great, man. I mean, we were wrong. Okay. But because we're tired of always seeing the same teams in there too, but obviously we're going to play the odds and go with the teams we think are destined to win. But I think tonight is going to be the Dodgers night. I think Walker Buehler's, after that, he got rocked for, six hits and like two home runs out of that, the last game. So he pitched six innings. They tried to get the most out of him, but he ended up just kind of shitting the bed. I mean, he wasn't bad. He only had like one walk and he had like five strikeouts, whatever. But I think Walker would be coming back with a vengeance in this. I mean, he pitched game one, so we'll see what he's, like I said before the show, I think them missing Clayton Kershaw it's been a huge determining factor, more than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. I mean, they've lost a few starting pitchers. Trevor Bauer, he shot himself in the foot with his behavior. But losing Kershaw and Bauer, they've gone from having the stacked pitching staff to, I think up until a couple hours ago, their starting pitcher was TBD for tonight. You had no idea who Dave Roberts is going to throw out there. So this would be a Kershaw moment right here.
This would be a huge Kershaw moment. You need that pitcher. There's only a few pitchers I've ever seen in my experience of watching baseball in my lifetime so far that I've seen that can actually change the course of a series.
Yep.
And this is as a pitcher. And that's been JV. That was Justin Verlander. Yep. Clayton Kershaw. Yep. I've seen them dramatically change. And Mariano Rivera as a closer. Those are the only three I've ever seen change the course of what can happen to a team in the playoffs that are down, I mean? And
I'd throw Madison Bumgarner in there too with the Giants with his World Series runs, he could do it with the bat and the arm. So
was always good having a bat there.
Yeah. It's a small list though. I totally if I think of a must win game, who I'd go with, pitchers you listed would be in our generation would be the ones that I'd go with, with Verlander, Kershaw, even going back a little bit, Pedro, putting Pedro in a must-win game, throw him the ball.
Yeah, I was thinking Pedro too, but there's always that confidence you have in a pitcher when it comes to these kind of moments. And I just remember watching Clayton Kershaw do it all the time. And I remember JV, I remember there was this GIF that was going around or this meme, remember when we were down, I think this is back in 2000. God, what was this? 2012? Might have been. Yeah. And it was like, everyone was like, calm down. I fucking got this. And
yeah.
Like a meme of him. But you can always count on Verlander bring you back. And it was, yep. You need those kind of pitchers. And I think there's not very many of them, not in just today's game, but like
in
forever.
History, yeah. 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 No, I think you're right. It was 2012. Cause I remember game five against Oakland. It was,
yeah.
It was like, give me the ball. I fucking got this.
Yeah.
I think he went a complete game or something like that. And
come on.
Yeah. You know,
so it's just those kind of pitchers. And in this series, and in this, not just the series, but in this whole playoffs, I don't really know if we have much. I mean, maybe Scherzer,
maybe,
you know, yeah. But, yeah, we'll find out. So I can't wait. I'm definitely going to be tuning into that game tonight.
Yep. Yep. And we got the Brewers are fighting for their life as we speak here, trying to force a game five.
Yep.
Against Atlanta. Atlanta's another team that I overlooked. Although looking at the series, you know, it's like both offenses just are dead, and it's just been a pitching battle watching the Brewers and the Braves here. But the I thought that Milwaukee would have, with their offense and their weapons, I thought they've been able to win this series easily. But instead, they're down 2-1 and trying to force a game five. So it just goes to show the playoffs, anything can happen. Yelich is still dead at the plate. You know, they really could use his bat. And just the offense has come up dud, you know, just a dud for Milwaukee this whole series.
That's another thing that I don't think we've ever mentioned, or that's never mentioned a lot, just because they're a smaller market team. But I think Christian Yelich is, I don't think he comes up in big moments.
No.
I think if you can put mark on any downside to his career to this date, has been he's just not a big game guy. I mean, he doesn't always come through. I mean, he's had his moments, of course, but when you need him to come through in these kind of moments, I mean, he's playing like he's never played in a postseason.
Yeah, he is. He looks lost up there a lot of the time.
He does. And I kind of want the Milwaukee to kind of come through, of course. So. But I do like Atlanta. Sometimes I feel like people go off the record for the year, right? And you look at Atlanta's 88-73 compared to Milwaukee's 95-67. You're like, well, what the fuck, man? How are you guys not winning this series right now? And to be honest, I don't think Milwaukee, when it was all technically with their record, they showed that they were the strongest team in the NL Central, but I'm telling you, I don't think they were the best team in the NL Central. I still think right now, Steve, if the Cardinals were playing the Brewers right now,
yeah,
I still think the Cardinals would beat the Brewers.
Yep, I completely agree. I think the Cardinals have more talent up and down. They just had too many rough spots throughout the season. But
yeah,
I think if rubber hits the road, you put the Cardinals in this series against, you know, you put the Cardinals in the series, I think they'd fare better. We'll say that.
Yeah.
You know, yep. So, but, you know, I give Atlanta credit. I left them for dead after they lost to Acuña, but they patched it together, picking up Jock Peterson and, you know, putting different players in, plugging them in. They obviously still have Ozzie Albies and, you know, Freddie Freeman. Dansby Swanson's been playing well. They've, you know, done what it has to take to get the job done. But on a lighter note, did you see Chipper Jones try to catch that foul ball the other night?
Yeah.
You see why? Great player with a bat. Never a gold glove winner, I'll say that.
That's hilarious. That's really funny, dude.
You know, I watched that replay a few times. I'm like, oh man, come on, Chipper.
Yeah.
Come on, Chipper.
Yeah, he's gonna take some shit for that for sure. I do think Atlanta is better than what most people give them credit for. I think this is a team that's definitely gonna change over the course of next year.
Oh yeah.
I think, you know, there's a good chance Freddie might be gone, and
you're gonna see
their rotation look a little bit different.
Yeah.
Of course. They have some young guys there, but I think this is a team obviously that lacks huge bat, you know, huge offense right now, but I think I do think they can complete this against Atlanta or against the Brewers for sure.
I think so. Yeah. And then, you know, they'll get their consolation prize of losing to either the Giants or the Dodgers in the LCS.
I could be
completely wrong, but you know, which, you know, it does happen. But I don't know, looking at, you know, if Atlanta makes it through, or even Milwaukee going up against either one of those teams, I don't see much of a chance there.
So. I don't either. I just think the West is too stacked. And
yep.
Do you think the Giants have been overlooked in the postseason?
Do I? I know I did. I think the Giants have been overlooked a lot all season. I think they've been cast away, forgotten. Everyone thought
the West was going to be the Dodgers and Dodgers and everybody else. You know, I started jumping on the Giants bandwagon at the end of April. But I think, you know, every step of the way, nope, they're not going to win the division. Maybe they can get the wild card. Oh, they won the division. Well, there's no way they're going to beat the Dodgers here in the division round and make it to the championship series. But I think they just have a good mix of young players. And then you still got Brandon Crawford, Buster Posey, and you got a young pitching staff that's just coming together at the right time with a manager that's pushing all the right buttons. So yeah, I do. I think that, my, you know, media and, nationally, I think they have been overlooked. Even though they have the best record in baseball, it's like people forget that. But it seems like they're catching all the breaks here. You know, they won game three by 1-0. Evan Longoria was able to get a home run through the wind. And it seemed like the Dodgers were hitting balls hard, but they were right at the Giants players. You know, it seems like they're just, everything's been falling their way here in this series. So I think it's time for people to take notice that, yeah, I think the Giants are here and they're not going anywhere.
Well, they're not a sexy team. I mean, that's why
people
aren't raving about them like they do with the Dodgers and the Yankees and all the other teams. Gabe Kapler, I mean, it was a guy that really wasn't a notable manager of suit. I mean, it was a guy that failed in Philly and then he ended up coming here to San Francisco and turning it around. So, but the team is mostly led by veterans. I mean, you do have some young presence there, but their pitching staff is virtually unknown. Yeah. I mean, there are no stars on that pitching staff. Gausman, I mean, I don't consider him a star. So,
no.
I mean, it's just a team, like you said. I mean, everything just came together at the right time. And that's what I love about baseball. Because some seasons, I could take somebody like the Cincinnati Reds, right? For this season, somehow, some way, that all just came together and they had a winning season. And I think you see that with teams, despite, you know, regardless of payroll. And for the Giants, I think for them, it was like, yeah, we got, you know, we're led by our veteran catcher, Buster Posey. Yep. And we have, you know, leadership in the clubhouse with Evan Longoria. We ended up trading to get Chris Bryant, which is a fantastic move. I think that's a move that doesn't get talked about enough.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. You know, you talk about the moves at the deadline, you obviously the Trey Turner, Max Scherzer deal going to Los Angeles is the one everyone talks about. But, the Chris Bryant going to the Giants is easily overlooked. And that was a huge move to help push them over the top. You know, they had already, you know, were leading the division, but the Dodgers were nipping at their heels. They need to make a move. And I think they hit that one right out of the park.
I do. I totally agree with that. So it's fun to see them in it. And if they end up beating the Dodgers, I ain't gonna, you know, I mean, I'm used to seeing the Giants win. I mean, back in the early 2010s that's all the Giants did. So the fact that they're doing this in the next phase of Buster Posey's career with a virtually different team completely. It's really fucking fun to see. So this is a fun postseason. I mean, regardless of the teams we wish were in it.
Right.
You know, obviously the Tigers, you know, suck, but I mean, but for,
the Tigers suck,
but you know, we wanted like the Blue Jays to get in there and even the Angels to a certain extent,
who
shit the bed dramatically. So,
oh, they're still cleaning up from that one.
Oh, yeah. It's stained sheets all the way around.
You better look out. Yeah, those things are just going not even in the hamper. Those are straight out in the dumpster by this point.
Yeah, yeah. They totally are. But man. I love the San Francisco Dodgers or the San Francisco LA series right now. And it's been my favorite to watch. And I can't get enough of it. Before we kind of move on, I do kind of looking at a note that we had in the rundown. The Yankees... I know the Yankees are totally out of it. Nobody wants to hear about the fucking Yankees, but we'd be remiss.
Yeah, we do.
Not to mention it. Obviously, these talks are coming up because much like happened to Joe Girardi when he wasn't winning in the postseason. Now it's coming. Is Aaron Boone on the hot seat? What are your takes on that?
This is a tough one for me. Because you know he's made some questionable manager decisions, but ultimately he's not the one screwing up on the field, and he's not the one that put the team together. He's trying to do the best with the parts that he has. I just don't, you know, I'd lean towards giving him another year, just because you know he's dealt the hand that he's dealt, and he's still getting 90 plus wins each year. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you were dealt a bunch of superstars, cough, Brad Ausmus, and you continually shit the bed, then yeah, I think you underperform, you should be fired. But this isn't all his fault, honestly. You know, the bullpen taking a shit midseason, Aroldis Chapman screwing up. That's not his fault. He's, you know, trying to press the buttons, put, you know, put people in where they're supposed to be, and then they're just not doing the job. I don't think the Yankees are built properly. You know, I feel like, you know, they might need to go more small ball. I think they rely too much on the home run. And if the home run's not there, they're not winning the games.
What a great take. That is, yeah. I don't think we always danced around that, but that, mm-hmm. that makes the most sense, Steve. I actually like that. They're built wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're 100% right. So in this case, and plus we got to mention injuries. I mean, Luis Severino hasn't been back in like 2 years almost. And they were plagued with injuries most of the year. And also, if we look at it as well, they just really haven't got a lot of impact from their starters. But like you said, mm-hmm. they're built wrong. And I think that's unique because I think that's 100% right. I think they've had a lot of trade pieces. They're Clint Frazier's and you know, possibly Gleyber Torres if you want to hang on to them. And
you're right.
They're kind of built for power. And I thought if we're talking about the Giants winning the trade, you know, one of the winners of the trade deadline with getting Chris Bryant, I think mm-hmm. on the opposite spectrum of that, the Yankees, while they did good for the most part, I think Joey Gallo was a good addition.
Yeah, I was looking through childhood books the other day, and I found a book written by Matt Christopher that I think is basically Joey Gallo's childhood story. It's called it's called The Boy Who Only Hits Home Runs. It's true. I was going through this stuff. I was looking through a box of old books because I was going to start giving Gemma, my daughter, some of my childhood books. And I found that book and I was like, shit, that's like Joey Gallo. He either hits a home run or he strikes out. It's just like the book. That's Oh my gosh. But yeah, I agree. I you know, the Rizzo move was good, but why pick up Rizzo and Joey Gallo? It didn't make sense.
Yeah. I was going to mention Rizzo too. It just doesn't make sense. And you're right. I go back to what you said. They're just built wrong. So mm-hmm. in saying that, if you had a chance to choose between Aaron Boone staying or Brent Cashman, their GM, who would you choose?
Honestly, I think it's time to put a fresh face in there. Brent Cashman's been there forever.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it the hardest part is saying goodbye. Mm-hmm. I would keep Aaron Boone and I'd start fresh with a new GM. Someone, you know, a little younger, you know, that can bring in, you know, some of the minor analytics and all that into the front office when it comes to getting, you know, signing players. It seems like with Cashman, he's similar to Dave Dombrowski, where he's just going to go spend in hopes that if he can bring that next superstar in, it's going to bring them the World Series. Well, guess what? You haven't won a World Series since 2009. Okay. Yeah. You haven't sniffed the World Series since 2009. You know?
Yeah,
you know, you've gotten the ALCS a couple of times, and that's great. But guess what? You haven't gotten there. You're on a 12-year drought, and I think it's time to revamp the front office. If it was me,
I agree. I don't think Aaron Boone's the problem. I think Aaron Boone's actually a really good manager. Mm-hmm. I would give him next year. See what he does with the healthy lineup if he can. Obviously, the Yankees have what makes good franchises. Good franchises is the fact that there's this knack. They need to win, right? If they don't win, much like they do in kind of college with a lot of college teams, they'll let go of that coach if they're not, you know, or manager if they're not winning. So if Boone can't get them to that next level, you know, I'd give him next year, you know, and if it's the same results, move on. But I would also look at Brent Cashman. I think Brent Cashman is, you know, fishing with a shotgun or with dynamite, basically.
He really is.
And,
you know,
he's kind of doing it the old way of let's just get the best hitters as we can and see what happens. And sometimes that doesn't always mesh. And especially in today's analytics world that we're kind of in, you're kind of sacrificing a lot. You know what I mean? So, I think Brian Cashman would definitely be, in my opinion, too, would be the casualty of that team.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely something to look at. You know, looking at their past playoff experiences from 2017, they've, you know, gotten the ALCS twice. They've lost the division series twice, and they lost a wild card game. They haven't, like I said, gotten a World Series since 2009 and won it at that point. It's I think time to shake up the front office.
Yep.
You know, and that's hard because Cashman was a part of, you know, the front office when, you know, Jeter was there and they were winning all the time. He helped put the team together, you know, in the 90s that made that run. And, and yeah, that's great. He did great there, but, you know, sometimes you've worn out your welcome and it might be time to make a change looking in that area. Yeah. It's just, it's time, I think.
Yeah.
Plus the Yankees are getting a little bit older too. I'm looking at their average age is almost 30 years old. It might just be time to just revamp the roster, get some more younger players in there.
You know, I did like them when they were playing small ball before they started getting Stanton.
The Stantons.
I thought they were a more exciting team.
Oh yeah. I think you and I were talking about that, how we liked how they were building the Yankee team, you know, that team there in Girardi's last couple of years through their farm system.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing small ball. They were making trades, bringing people up. And then just all of a sudden they decided, well, it's time to spend money again. We're the New York Yankees, you know, and it hasn't quite worked out well
for, nope.
you know, for them. So,
nope. Exactly. Well,
we shall see. Be a fun offseason.
Yeah. It's going to be a hell of an offseason. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Right. All right, man. Ready to go to some collection corner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wheel me in there. I'm ready. Wheel me in there. Ready to hit the corner.
All right. So for this week, up and down, what do you got?
Man, you know what? S-Man is high on the Maze.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For the second straight week, I'm going to go with another Willie Mays card here.
Love Willie Mays.
1952 Tops. PSA 8 is up 95% to $19.50 a share with a cap of $466,050. Willie's the man. That's all.
This is uncollectible.
Yep. This is uncollectible. I went with collectible for my up and down this week.
Okay.
Looking at down also from collectible. Fernando Tatis, 2016 Bowman Refractor is down 10% to $9 a share. Yeah, I'm sure it'll rebound, but it has a cap of $193,500. And coming up on the 14th of October, my Mickey Mantle 53 Tops that I bought some shares in goes up for trading.
You got to keep us updated on that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited. And then the Jackie Robinson that I got goes up for trading, I think, in November.
Hope it sells for big.
I hope so, too. Make a little money that I'll probably invest back into collectibles. So.
Oh, yeah. It's like a little scratch.
Yeah. How about you? What are we looking at here?
Well, for my up was Wander Franco.
Nice.
Yeah. He's up about $25.95 from, which is like a little over a 30% raise from his 111 market value. He's big right now, of course. I mean, they just got exited out of the playoffs, so we'll probably see a little bit of a down there. So if you want to buy in, you could definitely buy in low at that time.
I'm on it.
But a lot of his rookie cards, which that's all there is rookie cards, are definitely going up there, and you're going to be seeing a lot of spikes for him in the off season. And I predict the beginning of next year, he will be up there with Bo Bichette. Remember when Bo Bichette took that huge increase?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, just like ridiculous, like stuff that didn't even make sense. It's like, why is this up so high? And then it kind of flattened out in the middle of the year a little bit. And I think Wander Franco is going to have the same kind of trajectory.
Okay.
Down for me, Alex Bregman, down about $22.45. A little bit above 58% decrease from a $16.17 market value. Now, a lot of the cards that are actually going down that I've seen have been like his 2016 Bowman Chrome Rookie. That's down, and his Dunruss Majestic Materials is definitely down. If you want to buy those cards, they're there for the taking. You're just going to see a slight dip from Bregman. I think you're going to actually see further dips from Jose Altuve. You're going to see some rises out of, if you're looking at the Astros as a whole, you're going to see some rises from probably Kyle Tucker, since he had a fantastic postseason. You're going to see a little bit, probably a lot from their younger guys. Just like I said, just like Kyle Tucker, Garcia, you're going to see a rise. Bregman, he's going to be down, but I think if they keep winning, obviously he'll go up. But I think right now, some of the veterans I was looking at are definitely down. And then just another up reminder as well. Boston Red Sox cards are there's a couple that are kind of stagnant, like your Nathan Eovaldi is, you know, stuff like that. Nick Pivetta. But if you look up, has been Alex Verdugo is fucking skyrocketing.
Oh,
some of those. Yeah, he fucks with cleats and his helmet.
Oh, yeah.
Man. so there's
full uni, huh? Man, full uni. All right. So what were we looking at for Bunt? Actually, I have a fun story with Bunt. The parchment cards that just recently came out. I Yeah, I think for a pack of them, they're like 4,000 coins. And to get an iconic card, it's like one in every 1,000 packs will get you an iconic card. Well, I dropped my 4,000 coins and got a Jake Cronenworth scroll. So that's pretty fucking dope. So I didn't have to pay any diamonds or shit for that. So it's a definite win for the S man.
It's a definite win for the S man.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been getting like nothing. I mean, I'll build up my coins, right? And then you'll spend them, especially in something like parchment or I think you get like a no matter what you're gonna hit on, you're like an uncommon or a
right
or whatever. Exactly. Retro Series 3, man, I had like 50 coins, 50,000 coins.
Yeah,
and so I started spending them. I didn't get one fucking retro series. I didn't pull one. It's like, how bad luck is that? You should at least get one, you know?
Man, that's so fucking shit. You know what? Yeah. You take it up with Tops, all right?
Yeah.
Send those fuckers an email saying, hey, guess what? You know, I'm going to take my business to Fanatics. You guys better fucking get it, get better here. All right?
I was just going to say that. Yeah. But Fanatics wouldn't pull this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Fanatics is my friend. All right.
Yeah. But so I'll probably just do eBay for Retro Series 3.
Get it.
Parchments are nice. I mean, I feel like we see three of the same kind of cards in this year. Parchment is what it is. But
Parchment fucks.
It fucks. I definitely like the postseason cards that have come out.
I do. Have you been doing the contest each
day? I have. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I've missed the last couple of days, but same with you. I haven't won shit. I've gotten my three tickets or whatever that I get for coming in last place or whatever it is. So, and then I've been doing the October has the bronze. You get those bronze tickets and then you can convert it into a silver. And then, so I'm almost getting up to the gold. So for the Mr. October. So I've completed the bronze and now I'm just trying to build my bronze up to get silver again, because I've completed the silver and I need to get the silver to get the gold. So,
so you must be doing pretty well in the postseason then.
I'm fucking, man.
Yeah. You know, I'm just the opposite. I can't get shit. And then it's like, oh, I barely got enough for a bronze.
Whoops.
It hasn't been good for the old Daltster.
It hasn't been good for the old Daltster there, but that's okay. You can just cherish and relish in the fact that you won your fantasy baseball. So.
Yep. I'm still drunk off that. So
clutch your trophy at night and cry into your pillow because you're not doing well on bunt.
Yeah, not doing well on bunt or fantasy football.
That's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's
a whole different podcast right there.
All right, so today we got a birthday in heaven, don't we?
Oh, we do. We do have a heavenly birthday here. So happy heavenly birthday to Braves legend Eddie Matthews, born October 13th, 1931. Matthews is a member of the 500 Home Run Club. Two-time World Series champion, won it in 57 with Milwaukee Braves and 68 with our Detroit Tigers. He's a 12-time All-Star and a career .271 hitter. Fun fact about Eddie Matthews, he was selected to be the first athlete pictured on the inaugural issue of Sports Illustrated magazine.
I did not actually know that.
I didn't either.
Happy birthday, Eddie.
Happy birthday, Eddie.
All right, man. All right. Well, what do you say we go get a cold one and watch the postseason for tonight?
Sounds good to me.
All right, y'all. Catch you next week.
Deuces.